Sure, humans can be a little weird at times, but take it from me, I'm a dog. And a person is about the best thing that can happen to a shelter pet. So if you want to learn how you can be that person, get down to your local pet shelter or visit theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome to Pet World Insider, where we take you inside the world of pets, pet products, pet places, and share amazing pet stories. I'm your host, Robert Semro, and I am a Pet World Insider. You know, we all think we know our dogs, and we probably do, but we don't know everything they're thinking and anything that might set them off. So I'm really happy to say back, we've got a great person on the line with us. She's written a wonderful book, People Training for Good Dogs, What Breeders Don't Tell You and Trainers Don't Teach You. I want to welcome back to the show, Melissa Berryman. Melissa, thank you for joining us again.
It's a pleasure to be on today.
It's so much great stuff in your book. And it just really is important that people understand everything they can about their dogs, because there is these days especially far-reaching consequences if something happens. And I think one of the interesting things is I've gotten to know you, and I'm glad to say that we're friends, is that you're a dog handling instructor. And the first time I heard that, I kind of, you know, tilted my head like a dog might do and say, what's the difference between a dog handling instructor and a dog training instructor? Let's share that with the audience.
Yeah, I'm glad you asked. And the way I explain this is that I compare horses and dogs. And if you were learning to ride a horse, you would not call a horse trainer. You would call upon a riding instructor. With dogs, we just have dog trainers, dog obedience. Where is the person that actually helps the dog owner learn how to handle their dog? They get into a dog training class and they're focusing on the dog when they don't really know how to do that. And so the dog's trying to learn while the owner's trying to learn how to do it. And so a lot of dogs take advantage of that, and you can see it. You know, some classes, there's couple of dogs that do everything, and the other dogs are just looking at their owner going, I'm not doing that for you. So if you think about it, when you learn how to ride, you're never put on a horse that's never been ridden before. You're always put on a horse that's well broken in. It's actually listening to the instructor so that you can gain your basic riding principles without the fear and the threat of being killed. So I actually have schooling dogs like we have schooling horses. And when I teach, I'm actually focusing on skills and abilities of the dog owner, because I know that's going to translate to what happens with the dog. When we pull up our skills and abilities, the dogs will say, oh, they know what they're doing, so I'll follow them. They're not going to kill me. So it's really in our best interest if we get better and better as dog handlers. And with horses, again, you don't start training an unbroken horse. You learn how to ride first, and there's beginner, advanced intermediate, advanced training level, and instructional level. So you're waiting until the end of that continuum to, like, launch into, I'm going to train this horse now that I've got all this experience. But we don't do that with dogs.
I think one of the things, too, that you and I have discussed is you really need to approach your dog like we approach working with horses.
Definitely. We learn how to ride first, then we might train something. And you really need somebody who's going to coach you, going to be your instructor. So when somebody says, this is my dog trainer, I really have to correct them, because when I have the leash and I'm dealing with the dog, then I'm training the dog.
Right.
But I really want people to know that they have a lot to do with how their dogs behave. There's a big connection there, and it's a disconnect when we only talk about dog training. And you can hear in how they talk about things. My dog won't come when it's called. And I'll correct them and say, well, your dog won't, you are not able to get your dog to come when it's called. You
right.
are not able to do that.
I also want to talk about the big debate right now about dominance theory, and that the new evidence shows that wolves get along really well, so there's no need to dominate your dog. What's your take on that?
I really love this topic because in everything I talk about and show my clients and write about in the book, I have an explanation about why I do it. So there is has been a movement of positive only, and if you just reward your dog for the behaviors you like and just ignore the stuff you don't like, everything will be great. Well, for me, there's always a balance of positive and negative. That's the world we live in. So the dogs also live in that type of world. They don't live in just positive-only dreamland. So the positive-only people were looking for justification, and everybody looks for justification in their opinions. So they're looking for justification, and what they found was that the former research on wolves was conducted with putting a bunch of wolves in a pen that were unrelated. And when you do that, then they start trying to form a hierarchy, because anything that works in a group does that. You know, we have a hierarchy in our families, in our work groups, in our organizations. There's always a hierarchy and some struggle about that. And what the researchers have found is that out in the wild, you're really looking at a breeding pair of wolves who have a litter of puppies. And most of those puppies die. And then some of them stay on to help mom and dad, and then the rest of them disperse because you can't have everybody interbreeding. And then mom and dad have another litter of puppies, and the same thing happens. So you have a family group, and if you look at it, if we throw a whole bunch of unrelated people together, there's kind of a little fight for who's going to be in charge, right? We do the same thing.
Yeah.
But in our families, it's pretty much preordained that mom and dad are going to have more power than the kids, and the older kids have more power than the younger kids. So it's kind of set in stone, even though the kids will still kind of battle out for power, don't they? So that's kind of what's happening. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't be your dog's leader, because when you get a dog, whether it's a puppy or an older dog, it's still not your animal. You did not have that baby.
Right.
So you have to establish yourself as somebody who's going to be the touchstone. It's not about I'm going to be the boss and I'm going to tell you just punitively. And a lot of times in the past, it was a punitive type of thing. I do a balance of checks and balances. You know, I want to be able to control dogs from acting on their instincts, because there's parts of the brain that they're not really aware of. They shut that part of the brain that analyzes some things, and they have less analytical power than we do.
Absolutely. Hey, Melissa, I think that everything that you're pointing out is stuff that people really need to not only know, but also really dive into. I really want to make sure that people have an opportunity to write down where they can get more information about not only your book, but the things that you have to share with them. They can do that by going to ptfgd.com. Again, that's ptfgd.com. And again, Melissa, thank you for all this great information. It's really appreciated, and it really needs to get out there.
Pleasure to be on the show.
We'll be right back with more Pet World Insider after these messages. Life is Pawfect is the new must-have gift book for dog lovers everywhere. This book features more than 55 theme animal portraits from the Pawtographer. The Pawtographer builds out actual scenes and places dressed dogs in those scenes. The portraits are accompanied by wit and wisdom for pet parents. Life is Pawfect is sure to put a smile on any pet lover's face. Life is Pawfect by the Pawtographer is available in bookstores on Amazon.com or directly through thepawtographer.com.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.